Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
Slack Daddies, Slack Daddies, a revolutionary podcast in sports entertainment. It's Brad the Dad and Father Greg, the Slack Daddies. Revolutionary podcast and sports entertainment. It's Brad the Dad and Father Greg, the Smack Daddies.
Hello, friends, and welcome to your SmackDown review for the Huge Pop Network. I am Brad the Dad, and riding shotgun with me is my tag team partner, Greg Father Velvum.
Bless you, my son.
And your Smack Daddies are here on a Friday night. We are, I mean, somebody used to be called the Friday Night Delight. Greg, do you think we could take that mantra now?
I don't think so.
You don't think our wives would approve, or do you don't think it's an accurate description?
Both.
I think that's very fair. Greg, we were talking just before we started. How was your week?
Yeah. yeah, that's about the best answer I can give that will not get me in trouble.
You know what? This whole September thing blows.
Yes, that would be an accurate statement. I don't even really know what else to say on that. It's been a busy September. We've got most of our wood put away now. We had a couple of cords of wood delivered. So that's all stowed up and ready for the year. But I'm short on another rack for what was left over from last year to restack. So that'll be coming tomorrow. So we'll probably try to get that finished at some point over the weekend. So all of our wood is put away. And yeah, it's, you know, we're into Fat Boy Fall.
Yeah, it's kind of, the summer has come to an end, and it was just, I was saying before we hit record, I have a work trip. So we had 2 days, we had a planning day and a retreat day, and they sound like, you know, those team building retreats are great. I got to hang out with the remote staff who don't live in Nova Scotia. It was fun, but there's still stuff that needs to be done. So you're like doing the not work stuff. And then you're doing the work stuff. And then and then you have your wife annoyed because you're like, oh yeah, I left at like, we went to a little retreat center outside of town, about up towards Hubbard's, which is like an hour out of town. So it's like my usual commute to my work is either a 15-minute drive or a 3-second walk down to my desk. And now I have a 60-minute commute. And it's just, yeah. Oh, and on the way home, for those, we had the classic Nova Scotia problem. We had a double car accident.
Oh, did we?
Yeah. So I had to drive my new friend Gordon out to the airport. He was on his way home to lovely Sault Ste. Marie.
I'm sure it is lovely. Never been there.
Nope, me neither. But he was, we were there and he was like, man, there's bad traffic. I'm like, this is going to be a double. He looked at me like, what's a double? I was like, Nova Scotia has the double car accidents. We have one car accident that's actually the car accident. Correct. And then we have the second car accident that is caused by the rubbernecking.
Correct. Yes.
So we had three car pileup on the way to the airport. And then I'm going to guess that the truck was the rubbernecker one, because he, this 18 wheeler is off. Like, it looks like he veered around the accident and went over the bank into a little bit of a valley. And there was a special tow truck dragging the 18 wheeler out. So if your Amazon package was on that truck, you are not getting a delivery today.
Oh, dang. Mine's coming tomorrow, but I don't think it's... Now you got me pulling up my Amazon to see where in the world it is, because, I mean, it's probably coming on a truck from Quebec somewhere, so...
Yeah, it was one of those ones where I looked at it, I was like, damn, I hope that was an empty one on the way to the airport picking up stuff and not a full one going to the airport dropping stuff off.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope so too, because I certainly don't want that, but yeah, we'll see.
Greg, how do you feel about puppies?
That's a great question, Brad. And I thoroughly enjoy puppies. Mine is actually close by me right now, and being a bit of a pain today. So yes. I guess it really depends on how much of a pain they want to be on a good day.
So how do you feel about puppy pictures, though? Like getting randomly solicited pictures of puppies?
There could be worse things that could be randomly sent to me unsolicited. So, I mean, all things considered, it is not as bad as one would think.
You know what? I think that puppies are great. And I want to say a shout out to the Raw Dogs, Eric B and Randy C, for the puppy love for Greg this week.
Well, they call it puppy love.
That is not going to be the episode name for the SmackDown.
No, so, I actually have the episode name for the SmackDown, so don't worry.
Okay, so do you want to talk about the Vince doc as part of our SmackDown review, or do you want to save it as a bonus at the end?
Which doc?
Oh, the He Who Shall Not Be Named doc.
The Voldemort documentary, yes.
I'm not sure how we get around not using the V word throughout that one.
Voldemort.
Voldemort. That's a V word.
That's right.
Shall be a special short at the end of this?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, so let's go to SmackDown then, Greg. Right. Where was SmackDown coming from?
This is episode 1310 from the Paycom Center in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, a place that I was like 2 years ago, almost to the week. So
can you imagine
building for Raw?
Yes. Can you imagine what tickets would cost you now?
I was going to say, I paid $20 for my ticket last time. They actually opened a whole section for me. So it was just being by myself in my own section of Raw, minding my own business.
You know what? Lovely. I think that some of the people who listen to this, people like our buddy Jake, people like our buddy Sean Burkhead, you guys need to know Greg is VIP. He gets VIP treatment. He gets special seating. I mean, I experienced this when we went to the AEW show. They had a special seating for us.
That's right.
I've never experienced this on my own. And now you're saying this happens to you when you go to shows. So I think this is a Greg thing.
Yeah, I rolled up to the box office. I was a walk-up customer and I was like, hey, this is where I want to sit. And they're like, yeah, give me a second. Let's go and get that opened up for you. And sure enough, they opened up that section just for me. And it literally was me there all night. There was no one else around me. And I had a great view. I was hard cam side, basically kind of in line with the announce desk. So I had a great view of everything.
So there's no chance you'd also get that experience 2 years later.
I guess not, no.
All right. So let's begin tonight with voices in our heads. They call to us. They understand. They talk to us. Greg, what is going on? Why is Randy Orton's song so popular all of a sudden?
I have not been able to figure that out. Europe, maybe? I don't know. And I'm not talking about, you know,
the band
songs by Europe. Yeah.
Okay, Randy Orton calls out Cody, because he wants to know why he's teaming with Roman. And then at this point, I notice, is the set smaller?
I don't think so.
Things at Zaxby's just got sensational. Because now you can experience their signature Asian Zenzation flavor three different ways. Get that sweet, tangy, citrusy, zesty fusion of flavor rolled up in a giant wrap, drizzled on a salad with an egg roll, of course, or tossed on their famous chicken fingers. Hey, flavor this good deserves its own private menu. Or should I say, Zenyu. The Asian Zenzation lineup, available only at Zaxby's. Who's got the sauce?
Zaxby's.
I feel like the video wall is not as high.
I think that's kind of just the new standard, right? Like,
yeah, because then they can put they can not have that entire sight line blocked off, and you can have some people way right up behind the screen. It's a great it shows you how popular they are because they can squeeze more people in. Although this is not a sellout tonight, but boy, oh boy, was the crowd hot.
No, and it's not even close to a sellout, actually, because I think it was only about 8,000 tickets out there for this tonight.
Wow. Well, they made it look full and made it sound full.
Yeah.
The crowd is hot chanting for both of these guys. And Cody basically explains that Roman has given him his word. And, well, what would you rather be, a fool or a coward? Greg, I'm going to put the question to you. Given the options of being a fool or a coward, which one would you rather be?
Neither.
Yeah, well, it's like, can I pick something other than this, Cody? None of the above?
Yeah.
Like, no, the option is maybe not team with a guy who's been your blood enemy. And you, I mean, he gives examples that he does keep his word. He does promise that if he lost, he would go away, that he would do everything to keep the title. And so we get Kevin Owens coming out, and we can tell that we're about to finally find out why Kevin Owens is cranky. And out comes the Bloodline.
I thought you were going to say just like me.
Well, I thought about you, Greg, with the line that when after Solo cuts the promo and he talks about how these guys can't help you and that's why you had to go get Roman. Kevin Owens says, no one cares what you're saying. And I was like, boy, Greg is like, yep, I agree with this. No one cares about the Bloodline. No one cares about Solo's crappy promo. Shut up.
Yeah, basically. By the way, just got a message back from the crack research team. It was about 8,000 tickets distributed. The capacity for this arena for a WWE event is 16,757. So they were going to pack full tonight. Yeah.
No, well, that's why we're not talking about the sellout. Yeah. And
Greg, yeah, that's why you didn't get that sellout logo tonight.
Dude, I thought we were getting six-man tag matches, but we're not getting a six-man tag match tonight. We're getting Randy Orton and Kevin Owens versus Solo Sikoa and the werewolf Jacob Fatu.
That's what we're getting.
Dude, why? Like, the tension, I get that concept of tension, but I think the six-man's a better match.
Yeah, but I think to tell the story here that it needed to be a 2-on-2, right?
Oh yeah, and we get a great match out of it. But what did you think overall of the segment? Did this advance the is Kevin Owens PO'd storyline?
Sure.
Is it a storyline you want?
No. Not even the least bit.
Is it because the Bloodline's involved or
correct?
So if this spills over to just Kevin and Cody and Randy and some sort of weird, will they, won't they? Will that be okay?
If this was like Kevin Owens and Randy Orton and Cody Rhodes and insert random team here, the Ascension, I don't know. DIY. Yeah, I would be, you know, whatever.
Is this why you need puppy pictures? Because when you see the Bloodline, you just get sad.
I don't get sad. I just get bored. I just get bored. That's where I am right now. Is that I'm bored with the Solo Sikoa Bloodline angle because there's no progression. There's no forward movement in any of this. It is stalled.
Oh, I think we're getting forward movement after the PLE.
Maybe. I don't trust them to give me forward movement. That's the problem, because this Bloodline story has gone on for what, 18 years now?
Oh, what I mean is that I think Roman's going to spill off with some sort of faction to build towards War Games, and Cody and Randy and Kevin are going to spill the other direction.
I don't think so. Ooh. I'm not sure that there's going to be enough turnaround.
Okay, so hopefully there is turnaround because Greg needs a break.
Apparently.
Naya and Tiffy are in the back. Naya is pissed at Tiffy and grabs her by the throat and said, if this goes badly for me tonight, this can go badly for you. Greg, my question to you is that when it's Tiffy time. Can anything go bad?
Yes, things can go bad. This was not my favorite segment involving Tiffy tonight. Let me just say that.
Was that because she wasn't in ring gear?
No, I just I didn't think that the segment was necessary. If I'm being honest, I think the second segment involving Tiffy was actually much more impactful.
And it makes Tiffy look like she's a joke next to Naya.
Yep.
And I don't want these guys to break up. I don't want them and Pretty Deadly to break up anytime soon. I want this to go on for a little while.
Yeah. So this is not something I was really terribly enthused with.
Okay. Next, we got the announcement. Two nights in Jersey. Greg, hashtag road trip.
No.
You don't want to go to two nights of SummerSlam in Jersey?
No.
We can go to the Jersey Shore.
That's you're selling me on this hard no now at this point.
Move from a nope to an hells no.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, the last time I road tripped into New York and into New Jersey, that's driving through New York City is not something I thoroughly enjoyed. So
the smell of New York is problematic in August.
I was there in July and I didn't find anything bad there at that point. But was I also like scared crapless of driving in New York City and across the George Washington Bridge and stuff? Yes. Yes, I was.
When we went to New York, we did subways and it was easier because
100%. I just had to get from Boston to New Jersey to Newark, which is where we were staying, because we were going to MSG to go see the Undertaker's last match. So I had to drive through New York City to get across the bridge to New Jersey. Yeah, right, right.
Oh, thank you.
And I know that there's another way you can go that's much further north and stuff, but I had to drop my in-laws off in Hartford along the way because they were like, yeah, we're not going to New York. Drop us off here.
Drop us off in Hartford. It sounds way more appealing.
Yes.
Greg, your number one contenders match for the women's title is Bayley and Naomi. And we had a prediction. And at this point, we have to admit, we were not right.
First of all, before you even start on this, what in God's name is Naomi wearing an Uno-inspired ring gear for? Like,
she's trying to get that merch money.
Is she like looking for like worst Halloween costume ideas, or
she is going to be the official spokesperson for Uno? Is that what's going to happen? And they're going to come up with a new one. You know that you've seen the Uno machine that shoots out the cards. There's going to be one with strobe lights, and then it'll have her theme song.
Yeah, you're just trying to rile me up now to talk about her theme song again, aren't you?
Not the good theme song either, where it's like bring it to the floor. Duh, duh. It's gonna be the new terrible theme song.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You're just beating me now at this point, aren't you?
Well, I'm curious if we can get another round of puppy pictures for you this week.
Don't worry, you probably will.
Early on commentary, they talk about the difficulty that these women have fighting each other. Naomi takes over and she has a great corkscrew plancha. Bailey's rallying after the commercial. Naomi hits like this bulldog driver into the corner. That looks great. Bailey hits a belly to belly and a flying elbow, and that's what we get as a finish. I was shocked. I was like, the heels aren't getting involved at all.
Yeah. especially after that first segment, right? Like with Tiffy, you kind of expected some sort of Tiffy interference here or something to kind of set up, as I said last week, what made sense to me was the triple threat here. But no, surprised.
So we get a straight Bayley versus Nia, so the Nia can squash Bayley match.
That's what my assumption is, yes.
Dude, you willed a triple threat to the universe, and I may not forgive you for this.
Because, again, that logically makes probably the most sense here.
Well, this is the problem. When we make a prediction and it doesn't come true, it's kind of like the energy gets pushed into a different direction.
Sure.
Okay, Greg, we are 44 minutes into this show, and we finally got recap number one. LA Knight defends his U.S. title against Andrade.
Are you sure on that? Because I thought I remember seeing a recap earlier in the show with something like, I think it was during the Nia Tiffany stuff.
Didn't you're have- right. That would be that was recap number one. This was recap two. Recap one was explaining how we got to the okay, match, cool. The yeah, double pin.
I thought I remembered an earlier one. So, all right.
Thank you for the correction. That was clean up on aisle, Brad. So, yeah, you fact checked me in the middle. Is Andrade and LA Knight talk about respect and shaking hands and how that should lead to respect. And then Melo just comes in and blasts LA Knight.
Yeah. And this is when I was like, this is when I really turned the volume down on SmackDown and did not.
You started watching the Vince McMahon documentary some more.
Voldemort, yeah.
Yeah, you watched the He Shall Not Be Named documentary instead of Andrade versus Carmelo Hayes. Here's the problem. These guys can go, but because we see it every second week now, I have no interest. And the results of this match makes it worse.
Yeah, because if I remember right, it's now tied 3-3, and this is no game 7 of a Stanley Cup final.
So there are crazy stuff. There is the double moonsault, Melo hitting a rebound DDT off of the ropes. There's a spinning neck breaker. There's a cutter from the top ropes. And all of this is overshadowed because LA Knight comes down to attack Melo and interferes. And Melo uses the interference with Andrade and LA Knight, their interaction, to roll up Andrade. And yeah, Melo wins. They're tied 3-3. And Greg has willed into the universe the least desirable three-way match in the history of time.
Here's my question. Is that, do you think that it will stop after 7 matches, singles matches?
No, because they're both going to... So they're going to be 3-3-1 after the next match, because LA Knight's going to be both these guys. And so they're going to be still tied. They're going to have at least 8 or 9 matches. I'm going to go with 17. 17 sounds like a nice round number.
You're killing me.
They're going to wrestle until... Like, is there just a deal? This is a special Canadian Easter egg. They're going to wrestle until they leave Sportsnet.
I was going to say, if you tell me that this is a WrestleMania match this year, so help me God.
They're going to be
Carmelo Hayes and Alberto Lidolo. Or
yeah.
Alberto
Lidolo. Oops.
You can tell it's been a long week and I'm tired. Andrade Lidolo. And here we are, match number 28 of this feud, WrestleMania night 2.
For the speed title, because guess what? Melo's now the speed champ.
Oh, God.
He beat Andrade. Shouldn't he be the speed champ?
I was going to say, you know what this would be, though? Let's be honest. If this did bring it up to WrestleMania, this would be like the Friday night before, like with the Andre Battle Royal.
No, I'm not sure it gets that treatment. It is not going to make it on SmackDown. It is going to be on X. It's going to be on X during a commercial break.
So here's an honest to God thing. Right, if they went and did this feud on X in the speed and they showed the same match 5 times, 6 times, 7 times, would anyone notice? Like, they just replayed the same match, like, not even say like that, like, they literally just they just film one match and just play it 7 different times. I mean, maybe have it shoot it from a different camera angle and just use the second camera angle in the second match, like.
Or, okay, I got a better one for you. If we just take the matches they've shot, the six that they've shot so far, and we just plug them in and mix and match, as long as we, like, you don't mix and match between commercial segments so we can tell that their tights change, would anybody notice?
Probably not.
You could take, and you know what the funny part is? If they did this match on X, people would pay attention to the match because some of the stuff they do in this match is incredible. And if you're scrolling through a scroll and you see this video come up, you'd be like, whoa, what was that?
Do you know, as I'm thinking about this and in the environment we now live in, it would be hysterical to feed all six of these matches into like a ChatGPT program and say, generate for me what the next match would look like between these two and see what it comes out with.
And it'll probably give us the same match. The question is, the only things will be in question. Let's see. Does Andrade hit the double moonsault or does Hayes finally dodge it? And which move do the other ones steal from each other? Because that was one of the things that happened here that was kind of cool. Hayes tried to do the double knees in the corner. I can see Andrade trying to do something like one of those springboards that Hayes does and steal it. Like, that's the thing that's happening. They've wrestled so much, they're stealing each other's stuff. Like, we're watching a video game, they're stealing each other's finishers.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Greg, when's this three-way happening?
I don't care, but it's probably going to be on Friday Night SmackDown at some point.
Yeah. Greg's like, can we draft this feud to Raw?
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, you've kind of willed it into Speed. So, I mean, I'm okay with that, too.
Draft this to Speed. Okay, recap number three. The promo we saw earlier tonight, and that was the only hint of he who shall not be named on this show. No Netflix promos. No mentioning that he existed.
Yep.
Nothing.
Yep.
Okay, so Cody's in the back. He wants to talk to Owens about why they're upset with each other. And Owens like, we have a match, dude. And don't come out and help us. But Cody, then after Owens leaves, Kevin Owens is gone. Sorry, and I'm trying to like say the name of Randy Orton. Tell him I'm tired. Randy Orton, dude. Why? Randy Orton's like, man, I'm not stupid. Come help us, because there's four of them and two of us.
I don't even know what to say here at this point anymore.
Nothing bad's going to happen when he comes out and helps, right?
Yeah, of course. Nothing bad can happen here.
Greg, we are going to get Piper Niven versus Meechan. Why are we getting this? Did we see this?
Why are we getting this? It's a great question. Why are we not getting another Chelsea Green garbage segment? Because you know, there are reports that there were multiple ones filmed last week when we got the beautiful piece of cinematography that we got.
Yeah, and we got a backstage segment that was shot in 30 seconds where there was clearly a garbage can that was filled with like random unused envelopes and right. No real garbage, and Piper bashed good old Meechan, and then that set up this match.
Yeah.
Listen, most importantly, Greg, I finished my homework assignment. You've already heard half of it. Here's the other half. There you go.
Fair enough.
So you asked for segments. Chelsea Green. I got to find another one for that one because I got a lot of background noise in it, but I couldn't resist. So we get the same cannonball spot off the apron. There is a black hole slam. There's a crucifix bomb. Meechan hits a crucifix bomb. Piper hits the black hole slam. And eventually, because of a distraction, Piper crashes through the garbage can and eats defeat. And Meechan wins, which pretty much means something bad for Chelsea next week. She's got to go in that dumpster.
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100% is what's going to happen.
If only Mark Cardona would pop out of that dumpster.
That would be hysterical.
But he should pop out not as Matt Cardona, but as Zack Ryder.
Oh, that's even better.
Zack Ryder. And just come out and just woo, woo, woo.
Do you know what? In my head, I didn't go with the Zack Ryder bit. I was actually thinking like maybe even him cosplaying Duke the Drumster Drosy.
Oh, you're okay. I want to will this into the universe. You ready?
Go for it.
Do you know what's in the dumpster instead? Inside of the dumpster, it looks like it's smelly garbage, but when you actually, she opens a couple of the bags and it's old Zack Ryder merch.
Oh, that'd be funny.
That's what happened to all the Zack Ryder merch after he got cut.
Oh, that'd be real funny.
Oh, it could be all the stuff off WWE shop of all the four of the wrestlers that have been cut recently.
Yeah, you could do that, but I think the Zack Ryder thing would be hysterical. I mean, it's not like he's doing anything right now.
Yeah, he's looking for stuff to do. He's still recovering from a surgery. Get well soon. Well, he is probably doing something right now. Well, at least this time tomorrow.
Oh, I thought you were going to actually play the sound effect.
No, I had a different joke.
I was waiting for you to say, Chelsea Green.
Yeah, that's a little too on the nose. Speaking of which, next week, dumpster match. We get AJ's return because we got an AJ promo. And then, like, this incredible match that we get on SmackDown instead of on the PLE. DIY versus the Street Profits versus the Bloodline in a ladder match?
Sure.
Dude, they're trying to pop a rating.
Are they? Are they, though? Like, is there such a thing as popping a rating anymore?
Okay, two out of the three of these teams can actually wrestle. One of the two people that are part of the Bloodline can wrestle. And Tongaloa, he's the big one with the eye patch.
Yeah, here's the thing. I'm not excited for this match, and I don't know why yet. I don't know if it's just my hatred of this whole Bloodline thing. But I mean, it's one of those things where I don't know if it's I can't put my finger on it.
You could do something really cool here. And if I were them and you, I don't know, the rumors are true and we have the Lucha Brothers signed, this is where I drop them. I would drop them right into this feud and let them win the titles in the first night. I know that doesn't build up to a long-term thing, but as long as they don't end up in the LWO, I'll be happy.
Well, there was reporting today from our friends at Fightful Select to say they are not signed at WWE as of now. So,
a lot of times till next Friday.
You never know, but I don't think that there's been enough build for any reason to just give us this, right? Like, where's the build for a match of this kind of type? That's I think where I'm struggling with this. There should have been some sort of reason to go to a ladder match, right? But I mean, you haven't seen DIY really involved in the Bloodline in weeks.
Oh, that's not true. They got beat up by the Bloodline last week, and then when they tried to come up for the save, they got beat up some more.
Right, but I mean, like, it's one sided. Is really what I'm trying to say here, right? There's no reason, there's no, like, challenge. Like, there was no one coming out here to be like, I challenge you to a ladder match. Like, it's like, okay, hey, you're getting a ladder match next week. Okay, cool.
And also, why would you want a ladder match against a faction that's famous for shenanigans?
Right? I mean, we've got a pay-per-view that's called Bad Blood. Like, okay, cool, great, fantastic. And we're going to get Hell in a Cell at it, which, again, makes sense. All right. Okay. There's some reason there behind it, but it'd be just like them saying in the middle of this, it's like, hey, you know what? We're going to give you Meechin and Chelsea Green in an Inferno match. Like, okay. Where did this come from?
I think it came from the fact that they wanted something big for SmackDown to draw people in. Maybe only selling at half an arena tonight was like, oh, guys, we got to put stuff on the show.
Maybe I don't know. I'm not sold on this. I'm sure next week it'll be great and all that, but I don't get the build.
Are you sold on the fact that we're going to get the women's tag champs at Bad Blood, but not in a match, Greg? They are going to be the mascots.
Okay, honest to God, who the hell are the women's champs again?
Jade and Bianca Belair.
Oh shit! I forgot they were even on the roster. I mean, if it wasn't for Cardi B, I wouldn't I wouldn't know that Bianca Belair was still there anymore.
Yeah, well, they're going to be, and they're not even having a match. Your women's tag division so poor that they don't even get a match. Not even on the pre-show.
Yeah.
Why did they squash somebody in the pre-show?
Again, makes too much sense, Brad.
Naomi is in the back with Bayley. Looks like they're going to fight, but Naomi's not mad. But she is a little bit annoyed when Tiffany calls her out. And now, Greg, apparently we're going to get a Tiffany match next week versus Naomi. And maybe if you're a very good boy, Naomi will wear the same gear next week.
So we're going to get Tiffy next week and Naomi in a tables match. No? It's going to be Tiffy and Naomi in a steel chair match.
How about Tiffy versus Naomi in a deck of Uno cards on a pole match?
Where's Judy Bagwell when you need her?
A contract to be the official spokesperson for Uno on a pole match. And you can have, again, you can have your bedazzled Uno shooting deck, bring it to the floor.
We've got to move on.
Greg's like just mad. So recap number.
Bring this home, Brad.
Recap number four. Recap of the cinematic segment. They should just show recaps of this. Actually, based on that, this last segment, we should just show this old segment again.
Yeah,
Greg's like, cancel the main event. Just show me, replay that whole segment.
Yeah, show me alternate camera angle. I don't know.
Kevin Owens and Randy Orton versus Solo Sikoa and Jacob Fatu. Do you want to even like go through this? Because there is some cool stuff. My favorite part is the Randy Orton before the commercial. Jacob Fatu gets dropped on the table and then he no sells it. So he gets dropped like three times and Solo gets one for shits and giggles. Like, I have no other way to say it other than that.
Yeah.
That was great, Greg. That was super fun. Okay. For some reason, somebody's trying to Solo's trying to suplex Kevin Owens. The best part about Kevin Owens suplex is Corey Graves.
I'm not even going to touch that.
No, okay. Anyways, suplex. He doesn't do the suplex, but Jacob Solo gets his knees up when Kevin Owens tries to do a swanton because Kevin Owens hates walking. He hates walking upright, Greg.
That's right.
Power.
Apparently, Kevin Owens just likes to run.
He really likes to run. Hot tag, Orton runs wild. Vintage Randy Orton, power slams and DDTs for everyone. Out comes the Tongans. Out comes Cody for the save with his music. There's a fight on the outside. Cody throws one of the Tongans in. There's an RKO. Randy's taken out. Jacob takes out Cody and then uses Cody to smash the referee after a Kevin Owens stunner on Solo so that the referee can't count. Kevin Owens is pissed and distracted, so he gets a thumb to the throat, and that's the end of the match. And after the match, we have pushing, we have yelling. Solo is mocking them because they can't get along. Eventually, Randy Keith Orton is your peacemaker. Let me say that again. Randy Orton gets between Kevin Owens and Cody Rhodes and is the peacemaker.
Yes, that's
as I live and breathe.
Yeah, that's what happened here.
Randy Orton is also apparently a locker room leader and a mentor.
Like 10 years ago, do you think those words would ever come out of your mouth? Like, honestly.
I just assumed he would poop in somebody's bag again.
Oh, my.
It's like Randy is like, it took Randy like 20 years to chill out. And now he's like this cool, it's like everybody's cool uncle. Yeah, it's Uncle Randy. And like, there's a kid. I don't know I know you don't follow NXT. There's going to be a match that's going to be worth watching. He is wrestling this kid from NXT who's 20 years old.
What's his name again?
He's Bouncy. That's the only Bouncy Kid NXT. There we go. Let's see who that comes up. Oh, Javon Evans. Yes.
Oh, yeah, the new guy. Yeah, right, right.
And Javon is like, there's no way this kid isn't going to take the best RKO ever. Mr. Orton, please, please, please let me bounce so high. And then you just destroy me with that RKO.
So I just did a little quick Google search here on Randall Keith Orton. Do you know where he's from?
Not St. Louis, because he couldn't push tickets.
It's not St. Louis. No, no. He's actually born in Knoxville, Tennessee.
He's Sean Burkhead's probably third cousin.
Probably. I mean, I was sick and tired of them, you know, shoving Bianca Belair down our throat every time they went there. So
why not? Well, yeah. I mean, it's his shoot where he's from.
You got a famous mayor. You've got a guy who can hit RKOs out of nowhere, and
the Bianca Belair, the big tail, who is a freak athlete.
Yep.
Greg, what did you think of our main event? I can't even say it with a straight face. I know you're going to shit on this.
I actually enjoyed it up until the Cody Rhodes interference part.
God forbid, I feel like this is in the middle of the Bloodline run all over again. Why can't we have a match that ends without shenanigans?
Yeah, it's formulaic, right? That's the problem that I'm having with this. It's extremely formulaic. You know, you knew when Kevin Owens started in the evening in the ring that, hey, you know, you don't need to come out. We got this. It's just going to be 2-on-2. You're like, well, that's not how it's going to be. Like,
hey, Gregory.
Yes.
There were 4 matches on SmackDown. How many ended with a distraction and then shenanigans?
I don't know. 2?
3.
3.
So the Meechan match ended with some shenanigans.
I suppose the Meechan one. Okay. Yes. The LA Knight
came out in the Andrade. Yep. And then this match. We have 4 matches in a 2-hour show. 75% end with the run in and distraction.
It's only Bayley and Naomi.
The one match we predicted last week that would have shenanigans. Yep. No shenanigans to be had.
Yep. Yep.
Clean as a sheet. Everything else was bad. Greg is sleepy, so it's time to do the synopsis.
This is your SmackDown synopsis.
And this week, your SmackDown synopsis is brought to you by Huge Pop. Huge Pop airs live each week on TSN Radio. But if you're following us on the Huge Pop Hub, you get bonus content, including starting this week, a special story with our new friend, Jimmy Corderas. We're going to get those reference stories. Some of them will come from Jimmy's new book. You should also get his new book. But you should also listen to Huge Pop on TSN Radio or wherever fine podcasts can be downloaded.
Fair enough.
So the synopsis, Greg, you have the scissors in hand and you have your thumb firmly pointed up and down for Randy Orton and Cody Rhodes. And as the Bloodline turns.
Yeah, now we're cutting the crap out of this.
This rebel heart.
Thank you, Eric B., for that one. Also, check out the Raw Dogs. They are also on the Huge Pop Networks.
That there.
Okay, Greg. By the way, I have an update at the end of this for something else. Just remind me, okay? So, Nia and Tiffy in the back.
Yeah, we're cutting this. I'm sorry. I'm cutting a Tiffany Stratton segment.
Oh, I know. It's not Tiffy time anymore. So, no. Naomi and Bayley in a number one contenders match.
Yeah, I think this is fine. I think maybe you could even have cut the first segment of this match, but I think overall I enjoyed this match.
Yeah,
I would agree. I think we could have gone to Superstar Special and been more like,
yeah.
LA Knight, Andrade, Melo. I'm gonna put all of their mess together.
Including their match?
Yes.
All right. Then let's get out the knife.
Yeah, I was like, which one of the terrible sound effects? The boo, the buzzer. Yeah, this.
All of it.
All of it. Cody Rhodes, Owens, and Orton in the back talking. They're trying to work out their feelings.
I think this is fine. This can stay.
Had to put Chelsea in there because I don't think you're keeping it for the Piper Niven Meechan round two.
I'm going to keep this. I don't think Meechan should have won, but yeah, I'll keep it here.
It's tiffy time.
That's a happy sound, Greg. A tiffy time is definitely always a happy sound.
It is. It is.
Okay. Oh boy. What about the ladder match out of nowhere?
These previews and stuff for next week. No, next week is going to be a good show, but and I'm sure it's going to be a great match, but I don't know.
Greg,
maybe after I sleep on it, I'll feel better about it. But for now, I don't know. We'll see.
Greg, let's finish off with Kevin Owens, Randy Orton versus Solo Sikoa and Jacob Fatu. And don't forget, this ends with shenanigans.
Oh, wait, hold on. You got the Tiffy segment with Naomi first.
Oh, yeah, Tiffy and Naomi.
Oh, yes, we'll keep Tiffy here.
It's Tiffy time!
There we go.
Okay, and then we'll go to the main event.
Yeah, this...
This is tough. I think I know what you want to do, Greg. I think it's time.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah! Yeah.
That big buildup of that. No, I couldn't even, like, it's not the as the Bloodline turns. I think it's just.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that the match wasn't good. It's just the bull crap at the end ruins the buildup.
Oh, yep. That's where I am. That is the most accurate, I think, sentiment I have right now. It's the bull crap at the end, and that's the way I felt about the Bloodline now for months.
So here's the funny part. If we would have ended with Bayley and Naomi, this would have ended as a pretty good show, and we would have left with a much happier experience.
Yep.
It's just, it's building a storyline that I don't know if I want to see.
That's almost an every Friday night here.
Well, no, that's not true. There are lots of stuff on this show that we like. It's just...
No, I mean with me.
Greg's like, the you know, maybe that should be the prediction. Will Greg show up next week?
That's always... It's funny. To pull back behind the curtain, I legitimately got a text from Brad today, and I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it on air here. It's like, I'm just rolling in from work shortly. Do you want to record tonight or tomorrow? I can do either. Or really comes down to what your schedule is. Unless you're actually following through on that threat, not going to watch the show.
That was legitimately the text.
That's legitimately the text at 4:45 this afternoon. Like, because we haven't really actually had a chance to talk all week. It's like, hey, are you actually showing up tonight or not? And it's game time decision right now with Brad and Greg here.
Yes, but I know your wife is slightly distracted because 50-50 chance you bought her Zelda on Tuesday.
On Thursday, no, I did not buy her Zelda. She had actually pre-ordered it, prepaid for it. So she went and picked it up. And yes, she's been playing it last night and tonight. So that's how I could have my tablet in one hand, my TV in the other, as I had a documentary on for Voldemort and I had SmackDown on and trying to do two things at once. That I tell you, that's the way to watch SmackDown, is watch it distracted.
Watch it distracted, play a video game, play some Zelda while you're watching it. So Greg, for the good people at home, let's go back through this. What are you, just for the social clip and a full synopsis, what are you keeping out of this show?
All right. What am I keeping out of this show? Well, I'm going to have to scroll back here to my notes and take a look. All right. What am I keeping this week? I am going to keep definitely not the first segment. We're going to keep, well, really the Bayley Naomi match, probably could have cut out the first segment, but Bailey Naomi was great. Definitely are not keeping the Carmelo Hayes Andrade match because we're sick of that. We are going to keep the locker room talk with Randy Orton and Kevin Owens because I think you could have just done that and not had the first segment. Quite frankly, the Meechan Piper Niven match, I think we could keep that. That's not that bad and not completely objectionable. Then we've got the backstage segment with Naomi and Bailey and then Tiffy, so we can keep all that stuff in. And then we get the Bloodline match against Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. And this was fine up until about the 14-minute mark of this match when Cody Rhodes comes out. So watch the first, 14 minutes of this match. Last minute and a half, you don't need it.
So out of a two-hour SmackDown, you basically kept 1.5 matches. And of those, I would say two matches and three matches. One of those matches you kept in full, and two of them you said, you could probably watch about half of them.
Yeah, this is a solid 45-minute SmackDown.
Which you could watch while doing something else.
I miss the days of Hulu. The Hulu SmackDowns I used to watch. Because you cut the show down, you cut out the filler. My God, it's so much better.
Well, don't worry. We're about to get a 3-hour SmackDown on Netflix that we are going to have to watch at 1.5
speed. No, I'm not. No. Smack Daddies is going off the air on December 31st. When that ball drops in New York City, Greg's done.
Greg, let me tell you that we'll just watch it. We watch it on a 2-hour delay, watch it at 1.5 speed, and talk about it in the morning in our Jam Jams.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, man. I don't know. Brad, I'm not as young as I used to be. I don't know if I can subject myself to that.
Okay. And the other thing
I was going to say, these extra 3 minutes that we're getting on the show now, because they're not all that hard out at 9:57 Eastern.
They're killing you.
That's killing me. To add an extra hour instead of those 3 minutes. Damn, boy.
Well, the one thing, there's going to be no hard out on Netflix because Netflix is like WWE. You're all we have. Also, I want you to know there is an episode of SmackDown coming up. We're going to be the only people watching.
Next week?
No, there's a week coming up in November where the Jake Paul Mike Tyson fight is on Friday night against SmackDown.
Believe it when I see it.
You're like, this fight's still not happening.
Believe it when I see it.
Well, maybe that'll be next time we see Jake and Logan and all those other guys. So check out the Huge Pop Network. You can follow us on all of our socials, Greg. We are slowly but surely climbing up to we're in the mid-50s for our YouTube channel, which is great. But we haven't added as many people in the last couple of weeks. So we are still running the contest. We get to our socials at 20. We get we are the Smack Daddies, smackdaddies.ca on both Instagram and Facebook. Once we get to 20 followers on those two platforms and 100 followers on our YouTube page, we will be giving out some swag.
Sounds good.
Okay. And if you would like, and we'll give it out to one of our followers.
Sounds good.
Yeah. I think that's the fairest way to do it. We'll just call it on the air. So in the meantime, Greg, I'm just going to keep that swag. If we don't get there, we're going to sell it for $20. $20 a shirt.
Okay.
Sean Burkhead, you get first dibs on a $40 t-shirt though.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's US dollars.
In American funds, Berkey. All right. Well, with that, he's Greg. I'm Brad. Good night.
Were we going to talk about, you know, the other stuff that you want to do at the end?
Oh, yeah, we are. I just did the good night so that everybody who is dumb and didn't notice that this is still rolling, that we did that.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, that was intentional. Like, I was like, if you're still not here with us, because that's the end of the SmackDown show, but we are now into the Vince McMahon documentary. And I almost feel like this sound effect also works. Because boy, oh boy. So let's break this up. Do you want to do episodes 1, 2, and 3 this week? And then we'll do the other ones. We'll do the other back half.
Let's just do 1 and 2, because I think that's where you...
That's kind of where I left off. I have gotten through... I've started episode 3. So what I've been doing is watching them since they came out. I've been sitting down at the end of my day and, you know, my day's been ending pretty late, and I just put them on as I'm on my tablet as I'm lying, getting ready for bed. And it's like, the only problem is at a certain point I have to turn them off, not because I'm falling asleep, but because if I don't turn them off, I'm not gonna sleep, because I could binge this whole thing. I know some people have said I can't do that, but I could. This is, dude, these are easy. Like, these are, there's nothing. People are talking about there's these big things about this. And Greg, you said it earlier, is there really anything that has surprised you?
No. So I finished all of them now. And I mean, the first one is Junior, where it talks about basically, you know, Vince McMahon, you know, taking over the business, buying the business from his father, and, you know, the first WrestleMania and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is Heat.
Yeah.
So this is, oh yes, the scandals and the
media scrutiny that comes up because of WrestleMania, and then the all of the grow and the drug scandals and the ring boy stuff. So anybody who follows wrestling knows the steroid scandal, knows the ring boy scandal, knows all the stuff, knows the reader chattered and stuff. Like, we've heard all the stories. Yeah. The first episode I found more shocking than most of what I've seen so far, Greg. Do you know why?
Why?
His father never said he loved him until he was dying.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me.
That's messed up.
I actually knew that. I think I read that somewhere or saw that somewhere. So that didn't surprise me at all. Yeah, like the first, honestly, even, you know, not to give away the other parts of the series, but like, it's, there's nothing here in any of this that if you are not a casual fan, that you wouldn't know. Like, I'm curious. I got a text from my brother today, and, you know, maybe by next week that I can get some more feedback from him. But he asked me, like, am I watching the series? And like, yeah, I'm about halfway through when I was talking to him. So it's like, yeah, no, I'm watching it, but I haven't really gotten any feedback from him on it yet. And he hasn't watched wrestling since he was a kid, I think. So like, I'm curious to see what he has to say about some of this stuff.
Yeah. So I'm going to be doing a rewatch with my wife, who's the other person I'm curious to watch with, because she's seen, like, she's what I would say is a very casual wrestling fan. You know, if I have people at the house, she'll sit down. If I'm watching SmackDown, she'll tolerate it on the couch, but she would not go out of her way to watch it.
Is that a good idea to let your wife watch this? Because, I mean, if you and I want to do a road trip or something in the future, and she's like, yeah, you're not going to a WWE show.
Yeah, all this crazy stuff happens. No, but like she said, she goes, there's nothing. I was like, what? She's been seeing clips of it, and the one she showed me was the one that was the most scandalous one. And I know we're not gonna talk too much about any of the other episodes, but dude, with 6, what they did where they brought in oh my gosh, what's his name, Brother Love,
Bruce Pritchard,
after all the stuff breaks and they bring Bruce in to answer some questions. Like, first of all, that was a waste of time. He's not going to say anything bad about Vince McMahon. And let me say this, nor should he. That man, Vince McMahon, funded his wife's cancer treatments.
Yeah, you don't get that until the very end, like the last 5 minutes of the damn series. Like, and honestly, that is probably, I'll wait and comment more on that. But that to me was probably the part of this that I disliked the most in the series was Bruce Pritchard at the end.
Yeah, he doesn't have to defend Vince. Like, he didn't, but I understand why. Like, you're not getting somebody who is, he bought loyalty.
So Bruce Pritchard does not seem genuine to me in this, at least in that last segment. That's just my own opinion of it. But he did not feel like a genuine. I don't know if it was that he felt very much like he was in character or what. But yeah, I didn't. Yeah, the Bruce Pritchard, I could definitely leave.
Tony Atlas is the best person in this whole series.
So early on,
the first two episodes, he's featured quite heavily. And whenever Hogan says, yeah, well, Vince didn't want him to do that, Tony Atlas is like, oh, no, Vince was okay with this happening. He may not have told him to do it. Like, the smacking around of Caudle. Like, where Dr. D beats the crap out of him. Or Hogan chokes somebody out on live TV. It's like, guys, of course this stuff happened.
So... do you know what? If I'm being 100% honest, because I was not, I was young. Like, I mean, during that phase, I was young, so I wasn't paying attention to wrestling, and I knew about that whole chokeout thing. I didn't realize who it was that Hogan choked out until this documentary, and that it's Munch from Law and Order.
And he has his own show
back in the 80s. Like, I didn't know any of that, I didn't realize that, or maybe I did and I forgot. But I mean, I think that he died last year, maybe the year before. But yeah, no, I'd forgotten or didn't know that. So that was kind of a fun little find, I guess, in this. But yeah, Tony Atlas in it was good, I guess. I mean,
there's a turning point somewhere for Jimmy Hart too, where he says something and he's like, well, I'm still getting paid from WWE or something to that point. And then you just don't see Jimmy Hart after that, where he loses all of his credibility.
Yeah. Yeah.
But here's the thing. This was a documentary that was filmed with something else in mind that became this about the scandals, and you can tell they pivoted. I'm dying to see what we didn't get of this documentary is actually more interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what was left on the cutting room floor.
Did you hear the crazy Vince McMahon story about this documentary?
This is the one where he tried to buy it.
He tried to buy the damn thing, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I like how he thought this is the thing that's going to sink him. Yeah. Yeah, dude, this isn't sinking you. What's sinking you is the actual things that you're allegedly accused of. Right. And the real question is, and I guess it's because we're in the wrestling bubble, it's hearing people outside of the wrestling bubble who don't know about the Vince McMahon depravities and go, oh boy. The Ring Boys scandal is not a big deal to wrestling fans because we've known about it for a long time. But boy, oh boy, given what's going on in pop culture today, how do other people feel about the Ring Boys scandal?
Yep. I mean, that's very fair. And then there's everything else, right? Then there's... I think that this documentary series could have been abbreviated in some of the earlier parts, like the earlier episodes. And I think that there could have been more stuff in episode 6 is really where you kind of get the current day scandal stuff. And I mean, that itself is a 3 or 4 part documentary.
I think this is, and I think that whatever you grade this is an incomplete, because until we get the Vince McMahon story finished, is he going to be charged by the feds? How will this lawsuit play out in court? Until that's done, I don't think we will get a full story. And honestly, I don't think until he's dead at this point. And I know that's a terrible thing to say about somebody. I don't wish him dead, but well, other people may wish him dead, but I don't necessarily wish that to anyone. However, I don't think we're getting a full story until Vince is no longer on this side.
I could definitely see a season two of this.
After Vince is dead.
Maybe even before that, once everything is adjudicated and stuff, I could definitely see a season two.
Could you see it? Okay, so let's
or at least one more or two more episodes on it.
So let's rub the crystal ball. Would you get if Vince? So let's pretend Vince is found innocent. Do they take a twist on this and it's like this triumphant, vindicated guy, or is it still this tone of is Vince McMahon and Mr. McMahon the same person?
I don't think there's any way to find him innocent. I mean, there's the paper trail, right? Like I don't see any way that actually happens, but I mean, I've also not seen a whole bunch of stuff happen in my life that I probably should have, you know, known better for. So I personally don't see how it's possible, but again, I could be wrong. Yeah. So I don't even know, Brad. I don't even know.
Yeah, it's going to be, but I do think that this will expand at some point to a, if not a season two, a 3-part docuseries on the fallout of whatever's about to happen in this phase of Vince McMahon's life.
Yeah. I mean, in episode 6, you're going to see like Wall Street Journal reporters being interviewed and all that. And it's just scratching the surface. Right. And yeah. So, and the end tag of the whole series. And I mean, I know we're not jumping ahead, but the end tag of the whole series doesn't put any dates or anything on it. It's just as if it was written today. So I don't know if the plan is, you know, that they go back and update that end tag written text to something else after things are done, or they're going to release something else. I don't know.
The other sad stuff is his relationship with Shane, just that comes out throughout the course of the series.
Yeah. Yep.
It's the I'm going to use my psychological term. It's the intergenerational transmission of psychopathology. This idea that, you know, the things can be passed from generation to generation. And the fact that his father never said he loved him and was proud of him, and he really didn't shower his kids with love. It's like that cycle is continuing and it's not good.
Yeah.
And I hope Shane breaks it with his boys, because yeah, that's wild. Like just that, the stuff, the weird relationship that he had with his dad is just, yep. It's into the person of Vince McMahon. So I guess the only thing left to do, Greg, is, and maybe this is where we ask, I'd love to hear, I want to hear on this is someone who actually knows Vince, someone like Jim Ross, Jimmy Corderas, people who are actually been around Vince. I'd love to hear like their take on the question. Is Vince McMahon, I know we don't normally say his name, but we're not on the SmackDown, we're kind of like the afterpath. Is Mr. McMahon and Vince McMahon the same person, or are they two different people?
Yes, that's some great questions. There's a lot of interesting kind of follow-up questions that I would have about this. So yeah. Maybe one of these days we'll have to ask someone.
Well, we will hunt somebody down. So this is, thank you for, if you stayed past the goodbye and stayed on for this and you're like, wait, I thought they said goodbye. Well, this was your bonus clip from the Smack Daddies with a little bit of a talk on this. We'll probably throw something on next week. We may even do it. I think next week, Greg, we'll do this as a separate pod, just because that way we can keep our promise of our SmackDown special with the 10 minutes of an insane SmackDown next week.
Yeah. Yep. We'll be quick next week.
So we can talk a little bit more about Vince and the Mr. McMahon documentary series, but check out everything that's coming up on Huge Pop this weekend. And the guys over doing the Draw Straws Raw, I don't care what they said. They were all off the rails this week, but I love off the rails Draw Straw Raw. And now if you did stay to the very end, I know that Randy's going to work on their website this week. Okay.
That's, I heard that.
So I know that Randy is looking for recipes. So if you could send them some roast beef sandwich recipes and some banana recipes so that they're going to create a something on their page that has a series of recipes.
Oh, your best banana bread.
Yeah, your best banana bread. If you want to send Randy even just banana picks, that's also totally acceptable. And pictures of roast beef sandwiches as well. Those go to Eric. Roast beef sandwiches to Eric. Banana stuff to Randy.
Yes, yes. Definitely, definitely. Remember how we were talking earlier on the podcast about the second film of Chelsea Green?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they released as a digital exclusive.
It's like, I want to take my headphones and throw them across the room. Are you kidding me?
Kid you not.
Like we could have, I don't know, there's like four or five things we could have cut from this show that would, of course, it's a digital exclusive.
And it was a minute long, minute 8 seconds. Like, you tell me you couldn't get that on the show.
Shave a minute off the Bloodline main event.
Yep.
Greg, well, we'll be back covering all that next week. Thank you for staying around for the after party of the Smack Daddies podcast. And we'll see you next week.
Go to the outer limits of your mind with the Smack.